All right, what's up, everybody? This is Wes Hoffman. This is another episode of 314 Punk. Thank you so much for tuning in. And this episode is with Adrian Barnello. He's a friend of mine, plays in a band called Fight Back Mountain. I've played with them once or twice, and they're very good people. And I'm very excited to share this with you guys. If you want to follow them, follow at FightBackMTN on Instagram. And also make sure that you're following 314 Punk on Instagram as well. But yeah, we're going to get to it here pretty quick. I don't have that much to report. Make sure that you're following 314 Punk to find show updates, because that's how this is kind of roll. Is I don't know how often we're going to be doing show updates. I might do little episodes here and there with more information on shows and events happening, but just follow the page and you'll know what's going on. So thanks so much and enjoy this episode with Adrian Barnello of Fight Back Mountain. It's still working.
Cool.
Yeah. All right. So this is the 314 Punk podcast, and I'm here. You're the first guest, Adrian Barnello. Fight Back Mountain.
Yep, that's me.
How you doing?
I'm doing great.
Good, good. Thanks for coming on to this podcast. I really appreciate it.
Thank you for having me. It's great to be here in the room. I got, which one is this?
Michelangelo.
He's like a cube. He's been turned into a cube.
I got that out of a Big Claw box.
Oh, like a gotcha game.
Yeah, like there's a face-to-face record called The Big Choice, and yes, that's what it used to be called, was like The Big Choice. That's what one of them is called, is The Big Choice, because you can choose.
Yeah.
You're supposed to choose, but you don't always get to choose if something's like buried underneath. You know, you can't, it's going to be hard to get.
Right, so. You can't always choose. I got that CD at the St. Thomas Aquinas.
Oh, nice.
Thrift store in like 2008.
Nice.
Yeah, it was a good find.
That is a good find. Yeah. I love face-to-face. I've always been a big face-to-face fan. They're like one of my favorite bands that got me into punk.
Yeah, they're super good.
Yeah. So tell me about, I know that you guys, I always do this. I always talk like before the podcast, and that's usually when you get the good stuff. But you guys just played a show last night.
Fresh off the presses, just played a show last night. It was our first show back, back IRL in real life.
IRL, baby.
You know, I don't want to say post-COVID because a lot of people, you know, it's kind of like in the weaning part.
It's still COVID time for sure.
It's still COVID time, especially in other parts of the world. But, you know, in the United States, it's kind of loosening up a little bit. The vaccination rate's going up and all that. So we'll just go with post-COVID. But it's short for not really. It's short for not really, but kind of. First show back, not a live stream, real life show. It was great. Like I was saying beforehand, I thought I was going to be really nervous. But it was actually great. Very natural, didn't miss a beat kind of thing.
That's awesome.
Getting the first show back, it was at the Sinkhole, which I'm glad that the Sinkhole made it through the pandemic.
Oh, me too.
Yeah, for sure.
The pandy. Yeah.
The pandy, yeah. The pandemic. I saw people calling it that because of the censor. Well, now I don't want to say censorship, but there, if you post videos about stuff pandemic related on YouTube, it'll get a flag on it.
Okay.
And, yeah. But the,
I think it's cool, the pandy.
Yeah, pandy. Yeah. It kind of defangs it a little bit.
You could call it the panda.
That's bad because that's like an animal that's from China.
Oh, yeah. That totally. Don't call it the panda.
Don't call it the panda. That could be misinterpreted.
Yes.
But the pandy, though, kind of sounds like an Italian, like a kind of like brand of pasta or something. Ooh. Like pandinis or something.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
That makes it sound tasty. But
I'm into it.
The first show back, and we played like 12 songs.
Oh, nice.
Which is a lot because there was only two bands.
Extended set kind of
thing. Yeah, a little bit of an extended set for sure. And usually we only play like 8 or 9. And it was great. It was really natural and people seemed to be really into it. Like there were only 30 tickets available because minimal, I guess, some restrictions on the number of people allowed. You know, Sinkhole is a really small venue, so it makes sense, 30 people. We sold all those tickets, and it wasn't really particularly hard to sell them. So I'm hoping that with the things going like they are right now, hopefully it keeps going that way. And I'm hoping that people are more excited to go out and see music. There's some signs that that will be the case, because Riot Fest sold out in like 5 seconds.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I definitely think people are chomping at the bit right now. And I myself am definitely excited. I've been to a couple shows. I went to Red Flag, like, this was probably about a month or so ago.
Okay.
When they started doing shows. And it's different, for sure. Mm-hmm. You know, you had to keep your mask on. You had to kind of stay away from people. And it's, like, limited capacity. But I definitely think people are, like, ready to go, you know? Most people. But some people are still, like, very taking it very cautiously, and that's fine too.
Right. Well, my thing is, I just hope that people are more enthusiastic, because I feel like maybe like late 2019, early 2020, it was kind of hard to get people out the door.
Honestly. Totally agree with
like,
that.
Like, there was kind of a like, oh, shows happen all the time, kind of like, what's that song where it's like, you don't know what you got till it's gone.
Yeah.
It was covered by John Mayer. But it's called Big Yellow Taxi, I think.
Yeah, Big Yellow Taxi. But I don't know. Sheryl Crow did it.
Maybe.
Yeah,
I don't know who originally did it, though.
I think it was, that's an old song, right?
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't remember.
But anyway.
Like a Bill Withers type
guy? It might
guy,
be. Maybe? I have no idea. Yeah. But it's like that, where it's like, well, I kind of think people got kind of in a mood where it was like, you know, there's shows, I'll click interested on the Facebook event, but I'm not actually going to go. But I think that's kind of, I think that's shifting towards people being like, whoa, maybe I should have went to, you know, maybe I should have been more engaged and stuff while I had it. And now I just went for 18 months without it or whatever. And now I'm like, oh, maybe I need to get back into this for real. So I'm kind of hopeful, honestly, with the way it's going right now. Hopefully it keeps going that way.
Me too. Yeah. I hope so too. I have high hopes for it. I think like people definitely have missed concerts. They've missed shows. They've missed like going out to the movies. I went to my first movie not too long ago.
I went to my first movie back. My first movie back, because I love going to the movies, was Demon Slayer.
Oh, okay.
It's an anime.
Okay, yeah.
They made a movie. It's called, I'm going to pronounce it wrong, but it's Demon Slayer Mugen Train. M-U-G-E-N. Mugen.
Okay.
Mugen Train.
That sounds about right.
It was cool. Yeah. If you want to see theater. People fighting on a train.
Okay. I went and saw A Quiet Place too.
Yeah.
It was really good. It was good to see. That's a good movie to see in the theater because it's like, it just has, yeah, yeah, it's scary, it's scary. That was the first time, like, so my girlfriend and I, we met during COVID, so, like,
okay,
this is the first time we went to a movie together, which usually that would be, like, a first or second date thing,
yes,
you know?
I went to the movies on my first and second date with Angelica.
Nice, yes. awesome. So tell me a little bit about what got you, I'm going to kind of, with this podcast, I think, like, ask some of the similar questions, like, to all the guests,
mm-hmm.
Just because I think that's cool to, like, hear everybody's story, but have, like, a little bit of consistency.
Yeah.
What was the first band that really got you into punk rock?
Green Day, for sure. Yeah, Green Day 2004, American Idiot. Yeah, it was that one. It was the first one.
Don't wanna be an American Idiot.
Yeah, I mean, I could play probably the entire album by heart still.
That's awesome.
Yeah, especially even like the 9-minute ones. I can still play.
Oh, damn.
Like, I could probably get within like 85% striking distance of just covering it off the top of my head.
Okay.
So yeah, that was the one. That was the one that first got me into it. And the first song I heard off of that was probably Holiday, maybe.
Dun, dun, dun,
yeah.
Dun. I always wanted to learn those chords.
Yeah, it's pretty easy. Okay. Yeah. And it might have been Holiday, it might have been Boulevard of Broken Dreams. I'm not sure, but it was one of those two. I bought the CD, or my parents bought the CD and gave it to me because I was like 12 or 13 when I came out. And yeah, that's what did it. And then from there, I went out and I was like using this thing called the internet to try and find bands.
I think that I've heard of it.
Yeah. Well, back then it was a lot different.
And, oh, for sure. Totally different.
You had to like just Google like, or you didn't even Google. You like asked Jeeves. Like,
oh, ask Jeeves.
What kind of music is Green Day? And it was like, they are a punk rock band. And I was like, okay, well, what are other punk rock bands? So I went out and I found at Best Buy and various stores in the mall, like Slackers and Borders.
I still love Slackers.
I love Slackers too. They had like Borders had CDs.
Oh, yeah.
And I found bands that were, I guess, similar to Green Day, and or at least that's what the internet said. And the first, like, three or four CDs I owned, because CDs were the thing back then.
Yes.
It was, obviously, it was American Idiot, like Ren and Stimpy.
You idiot.
Yeah. I don't know. American Idiot by Green Day. That was the first one that I really owned. And then I had the Blink-182 Greatest Hits compilation.
Okay.
The one with, like...
I can see the cover in my
mind.
Yeah,
it's like a black and white cover. It's got like the untitled like art on it. It had, you know, it was Greatest Hits, had all the singles, and then had like Man Overboard and the Not Now, which was exclusive to that CD. It had that. That was the second one I owned, I'm trying to think. The third one I had was Sum 41, Does This Look Infected?
Okay.
With a really gross cover and a guy on the front. That one I still love. I still like all these, actually. And then the fourth one I owned, this is like a complete left field, was The Real Thing by Faith No More.
Okay.
Which is like not even close to the other ones, but that was like the fourth CD I owned.
Yeah.
And that was because at a point I ran out of money with my allowance. And I went through my parents' CD collection because they had a small but, you know, sizable-ish CD collection. And they had like... The only good ones, I mean, they're probably all fine, but the only ones I was really interested in was The Real Thing by Faith No More, and I guess the fifth CD I owned, or kind of at the same time as that one, was Siamese Dream.
Oh, by, such a good album.
Yeah, Smashing Pumpkins, which is still one of my favorites. So I guess like those two were both kind of the fourth CD I owned, because you run out of allowance money, it's like, all right, well, what do the parents have? And it was like Fiona Apple, U2, which is fine, I guess. R.E.M., which I have more respect for now than when I was 14. I was like, there's no distortion.
Yeah,
or whatever, you know.
The solo on What's the Frequency, Kenneth, is really good.
Yeah.
I really
like
that solo.
Yeah, I like R.E.M. a lot now, but when I was 14, I was like, it's not punk rock, though. And I guess it kind of is, though. But I was like, you know, back then I didn't really care for it. But yeah, so those are like the first CDs I owned, so that's how I got into it. Yeah.
That's awesome, man.
Kind of an indirect way of answering the question.
No, I love it. I think it's so was that then shortly after that, like, did you, like, I started playing guitar before I found out about punk rock. Okay. I was really into, like, I'm going to age myself here. I was like, at the time, like Hootie and the Blowfish was like one of the first tape. This was like even before CDs a little bit. That was one of the first tapes I had.
Okay, yeah. Nice.
And I was like, oh, dude, this is like, there's some cool guitar stuff on here, you know? And then I got into punk a little bit later. I was probably like 11 years old when I got that CD, that tape. And then like, I found out about punk and I was like really into like, I really liked the sound of the acoustic guitar back then, too. Like,
yeah, acoustic's cool, man.
Yeah, I mean, I still I have an acoustic at home. I still pick it up and play it. But, like, I really got into it. When I heard punk, I was like, I don't know, something like, I heard a song by MXPX called Teenage Politics. And it, like, blew my fucking mind. I was like, I'd never heard anybody play that fast. I had never heard distortion sound like that. I like the way that the dude was singing, and it's not even a fast song compared to like a normal punk rock now. Like,
not even compared to other MXPX songs.
Yeah. It's just like, dan, dan, you know, it's pretty boom, chip, boom, chip. But like, I had never heard anything that fast before. And after that, I was like, I need to learn how to play this shit. This is like awesome. You know?
Yeah.
How did it unfold for you? Did you start playing guitar shortly after that? Did those bands inspire you?
So I always played piano. I played piano ever since I was like a little kid up until like I was 13, I want to say.
Okay.
And it was, I started playing guitar around 13 it was pretty much because of the guitar sounds and the music that I was listening to. And yeah, it was pretty much one-to-one. Like I got a starter guitar. It was like a Yamaha Pacific.
Okay.
Yamaha Pacific or Pacifica or something. It was like $80 with an amp.
I had like a Yamaha Strat type thing
when
I was younger.
Mine was like $80 with an amp.
Wow.
With a little crate amp. So yeah, it was not good. But I still have it though, is the thing.
Oh, that's cool.
And I, you know, it has a bunch of stickers all over it, obviously. But yeah, that's how I started. I was like listening to that kind of music, and it didn't take long. By the time I got like the second or third CD, I was like, I need to start playing guitar instead of piano, because, you know, piano's
lame.
It's for girls or whatever I would have said when I was 13. Yeah, no, but yeah, it was pretty much right away after I started getting into punk rock that I picked up guitar. And I don't know why I went to guitar, not like bass or drums or whatever, but it was just the one that I went with.
Yeah. I also played piano when I was younger. My mom is like she majored in music in piano in college, and okay. she has a music degree in piano, and so she taught me and my sisters when I was little, and I got to that point too when I was probably like fifth grade. I was probably like 12, and I was like, I don't want to do this anymore. You know, I'm like,
yeah,
this I just like. I don't know. We were just learning all these songs, and I just became uninterested in it. But my mom was like, we were in band in school and stuff. Like I play the trombone, and my mom was like, well, you need to do something musical. Like, you know, and she had a guitar like kind of hidden away, like up in their bedroom. And I went up there and like got it one day and started like just looking at the little book and like,
yeah,
you know, figuring it out. So no, it's, punk rock was definitely like the catalyst for me to like wanting to learn more. And I took lessons for a little while, and I think I brought my guitar teacher like a Blink-182, or this was around when Enema of the State came out.
Okay. Yeah.
And I think I brought him a Blink-182 or an MXPX song, and he was like, I don't know what to do here. He's probably really sad. He's like, oh my God, he's getting into punk rock. I'm going to lose him.
I have a whole tangent about this too.
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah. So my guitar teacher, I took guitar lessons from when I was like probably about 13 or whenever I started. So probably 13 or 14 up until 18. So I took like let's just go with 5 years of guitar lessons. And my guitar teacher was, I say was, cause he passed away. When I was in college, but he was very like technical. He was very good guitar player. His name was Matt Kovas. He was very technical, and he actually refused to teach me anything by Green Day or Blink-182. I had to learn it myself. But what it did was I actually learned how to do songs by ear.
Oh, that's awesome!
Yeah, and he wasn't like in a jerky way. He was just like, dude, you can learn this yourself. Like, your parents are paying me to teach you, like, because he taught me, you know, like, scales, classical, like, finger-picking stuff, some, like, harder, like, in terms of more difficult to play, like, rock and, like, kind of metal stuff.
Yeah.
Because he wanted, like, to build up my chops. He was like, you can probably figure out that stuff. I'm going to teach you everything else. And it actually was kind of cool because I kind of went backwards. Like I learned all the technical stuff, and then I went back and learned how to do like play like three chords, you know.
That's a good way to do it for sure.
Yeah, so that was kind of the same thing where I was like, can I learn this? And can I learn Damon? He's like, you can learn that on your own.
Yeah, I mean the riffs.
It's so easy. Yeah.
Like that's the cool thing that I always liked about Blink was that they had their riffs were always like pretty easy to play, pretty simple, but like they were just so catchy, like that riff to Damn It.
It's catchy. Yeah,
it's so like the first time I heard that, I was like, "What the fuck?" You know what I mean?
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely like Blink's got those barn burner riffs. Yeah, but if you're paying $100 a week,
oh sure.
yeah, you can figure it out pretty much. But yeah, he taught me like. What was this? Some of the stuff that he taught me. He taught me how to play like that riff from like Them Bones. That's like okay. It's like in like 5/4. Yeah. You know, like weird time signatures. And he taught me how to play Carry On My Wayward Son. Yep. Got that one.
I was just playing that in here the other day.
Yeah, it's fun. Unsung by Helmet, because it's in that really weird, like,
really weird
time signature. And so that was kind of the stuff that he taught me how to do, was like that stuff. And we had like a book of, we had like a book that we worked through in guitar class. It was just like, it was like one riff from a bunch of different rock songs. It was like a modern rock book.
Okay.
And he taught me that stuff, because he knew that I wanted, that's kind of the stuff I wanted to play, but he wanted to teach me the harder stuff, and not harder, not like, like double bass and all that. He went more difficult to play riffs, and I think it was pretty good, because I'd like to think I'm pretty decent at guitar, and I never really like wasted my time kind of learning stuff that was really easy.
Yeah,
wasting my time in air quotes, because you know, but yeah, it was definitely effective, I think.
I agree with that for sure too. Like for me, I playing guitar, like my guitar teacher taught me a lot of like 12 bar blues and stuff like that. He was a blues and country player. And even though like I don't play, every once in a while I like, you know, just mess around and play some little like 12 bar bluesy type stuff, 'cause it's fun. But like, it taught me where the notes are on the fretboard. And I can like now, you know, learning things like, you know, when you have somebody to teach you like the minor pentatonic scale, like I use that all the time.
Oh,
you know what I mean? I use that in all my riffs, and like, it just, it's a good way to know, like, okay, here's where the pattern is of where, and then I can use this same pattern in like different shapes down the neck and all that. Like that's where it really helped me. And I still like, you know, we talked about the internet, like the pre-internet, like I would have to learn by ear, or like there was guitartab.com or like now you can literally get an acoustic guitar and learn so much from just looking on YouTube.
Like, I mean, you can every find song, bands, you know, playing, teaching you how to play the song on YouTube, which would have been unthinkable to think like, oh, this is, we'll go with the band that I didn't listen to that much when I was a kid, but I listen to now, like Propagandhi.
Oh,
like,
hell yeah.
You can
hell
like, yeah. You can find their old second guitar player, or their newer second guitar player. I believe her name is Sue Lynn. I don't know. But you can find them, and they make either one of them. They both may have like guitar walkthroughs of like how to play the stuff. And it's like, that would have been unthinkable to think like,
oh yeah,
here's Billy Joe teaching me how to play the song. Like, but now that's a thing that is out there. And I think that's great, honestly, because like the less, I don't want to like be cliche, but like the less gatekeeping there is.
Yes.
In terms of like, the easier it is to learn how to play music, the better. Like, remove all the barriers to learning how to play it. As many barriers as you can remove. I mean, you can't remove the barrier of you have to get a guitar, right?
Right,
but,
right.
You know,
right.
But it, as far as we can, you can take it. Let's teach people how to play it.
For sure, for sure. I feel the same about, you know, I'm 38 years old and I just started skateboarding 3 months ago.
Okay.
And like, literally, I borrowed a skateboard from somebody when I was like 19 or 20, and I would roll around in like the church parking lot. I'm from a really small town, so like there was nowhere to skate. And like, now that I'm older and there's YouTube and there's all these skate parks around, which weren't around when I was younger, I'm like, if there's ever a time that I'm going to do this, I'm going to do it now. And what you said about gatekeeping and all that, it's like, it's so easy to learn how to skateboard now. Like, you know, just from, I every day I watch a couple YouTube videos about skateboarding where I'm at. Like, at first it was like, here's how you push on a skateboard. Like, very elementary, you know, like that's how it is with guitar. Like, here's how you hold a guitar, and here's what the different strings are. And, you know, like, it's, I totally agree. I feel like the internet, that's a very positive thing that the internet has done, is like, provide access to people who want to learn new skills, who want to learn new hobbies, to like, make it so much easier to learn. Before, you'd have to get a book, and if you're reading a book or something, like, I do so much better like watching someone do it and then trying it myself.
Yeah, I mean, people do have different learning styles for sure, but yeah, I'm kind of the same way. But I come from I do music, but I'm also like I'm literally a licensed attorney. You can look me up on Missouri Bar. I'm on there in good standing.
I saw that. You congratulations. Yeah, by
thank
the way.
You so much. Yeah. But the reason I bring that up is because because I like to bring it up as much as possible. But also because they still, with lawyer stuff, they hide all of it behind paywalls. if you want to like learn how to be a lawyer, you have to go to law school. Mm. You have to pay money. Like those videos on YouTube aren't any good. They do not teach you anything. Do not actually watch those and think that you're learning anything. They hide all of it behind paywalls. So having learned music and seeing how it's becoming a little bit more like democratized or like small d democratic, where it's easier to find the information versus like the law stuff where I had to pay like a couple thousand dollars to like be able to pass the bar exam just to learn the rules and stuff. I think having seen both ways, the way that music stuff is going is way better. You do not want to hide everything behind a paywall and make it like elitist just to learn it.
Yeah. Right, right,
yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Because I've seen both ways, and the way that I had to become a lawyer is, it's honestly, it's a nightmare. So
yeah, it seems like
hiding all that information is no good. We should continue the trend of making it easy to find resources for all the fun stuff, skateboarding, music, and then also some of the non-fun stuff too. Like, you should be able to learn how to be a lawyer without having to pay multiple thousands of dollars, but that's a different story.
Or at least learn about like some of the laws, like, you know, at least learn about some of that. It shouldn't all be like, I mean, you have to go to and apply yourself, and I'm sure it's a ton of work.
It is,
like,
yeah.
I've always heard, you know, I'm sure like to be a doctor or a lawyer, it's always like so much time in school and so much time invested in learning and like on the job training and everything. So kudos to you for doing that.
Yeah, well, and it makes sense to some degree, because you need to be a licensed attorney, and they want to make sure that not everybody can be an attorney, because that would be bad, like, because not everybody should be. But with music stuff, like, anybody can be a musician. Absolutely. And everybody that wants to should be able to.
Totally. Yeah. At least give it a shot.
Yeah, you know, give it a shot.
Yeah.
See what happens. Yeah.
Switching gears just a little bit. So this is 314 Punk. It's a St. Louis-based podcast. Like, what was one of your first St. Louis bands that you heard of?
Oh, I've got a really good one for this, actually. The first St. Louis band that I actually got into, we'll talk about two of them. First St. Louis band that I really got into was The Pubes.
Okay, yeah,
they were like kind of a goofy pop punk band. I want to say the lead singer, his name is Mario. I don't think he lives in St. Louis anymore, but I think he still makes music and stuff. Mario Viale, it was Italian.
Okay.
Viale. He was my one of my instructors at Camp Jam, which was like a rock and roll summer camp thing that they had. And
like pre-School of Rock?
Well, it was basically a competitor to School of Rock, but School of Rock won.
Okay.
They won the market war of the two. But maybe they're related now, but back then there was Camp Jam and then School of Rock. But yeah, he was my instructor there, and I knew that he was in a band, and I liked his band because, you know, I looked up his band and on MySpace and found him, I liked it. And so that was the first one. But then the second one that I really, really got into, and they're still my favorite St. Louis band, it was the Humanoids.
They're my
favorite St. Louis
band. I absolutely love the Humanoids. Yeah.
And my story with them is that, again, MySpace, I messaged them on MySpace for to see if they wanted to play my 16th birthday party at my house in Baldwin. It was in my basement in my McMansion style house in Baldwin that my parents had, that they, you know, they couldn't afford it. And, you know, like that pre-housing crash kind of house where it was huge and stupid and there was no reason to have it. But yeah, so I hit them up on MySpace and I said, do you want to play my 16th birthday party with my crappy high school band? They were like, which Devin was the, our, my high school band name was called The Prop, which is the shittiest band name ever. And Devin, the drummer that's in Fight Back Mountain, was in all the bands that I'm in. So he, way back to that. And my message like went through and they responded and they were like, sure. And which I was like, oh, that's really cool. And they were like, so how's this going to work? And I asked my parents, like, so are we going to pay them or whatever? And they told me the amount of money that we were giving them, which was $500.
Oh.
In 2006 money, or I guess it was 2008, because that's when I turned 16, because I was born in 92. And I said, yeah, I guess we'll give you $500. And they were like, we will be there. and now being in a band that plays and stuff.
Oh, yeah.
I was imagining, like, because $500 back then, that would be like roughly like maybe $600 now ish. Sure. Or maybe even more. And I was thinking of it now, like, oh my God, if some kid, a literal kid, 16, was like, hey, play my birthday party, I'll give you $600, I'd be like, yeah, get me there immediately. I'll
play for however long you want. Like,
and that's what they know? Said. They yeah. said, do you want us to like cover, like what songs do you want us to play? Do you want us to cover anything? And they covered, I had them do like three like Minor Threat songs.
Oh, that's cool.
And they covered like all of them. I'm pretty sure they never played those covers anywhere else other than my basement.
That's awesome.
So I heard, I got to hear them do Minor Threat, the song, Out of Step, okay, and Straight Edge. And they were drinking my parents' beer while playing Straight
that's
Edge.
That's hilarious.
And yeah, they played in my basement, in my like finished Baldwin basement, to like me and all my little kiddie friends. And I'm sure they said that
they used to practice on the other side of this
really?
Wall.
Really? Yeah. That's great. They used to, and I've brought it up like since then, cause they play in other bands and, you know, I went to go see the Humanoids in 2019 when they did their like reunion one-off show, and I brought it up to them and I was like, do you remember that? And they said it was like one of the best sets they ever played.
Oh,
they're
that's
like,
awesome.
Oh yeah. It was like really good. Cause you guys really liked it. Cause I mean, a bunch of 15 and 16 year old kids, like we were like, we were really into it. But, and that's the thing that I've noticed, like Fight Back Mountain's played shows, but only a couple, but whenever we have shows where there's like younger people, like 20 and under there, they seem to really, really enjoy it.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. So
one of the best shows that I played was, I was probably 20 at the time, but we played like an anti-prom, which was that like,
yeah,
like where the kids, like, you know, they rent out a gymnasium or something and they don't, the kids that don't want to go to prom, like, they put together a concert and stuff, and
that's cool.
Like they were all like younger high school kids, and they somehow knew our music, and they like flipped out. And there was a ton of people there. We got paid really well. It was like, it was kind of a similar thing, but yeah, the shows where there's like younger kids there, I feel like it's because they don't maybe are at, they're not at the point yet where they don't care what people think about them. You know, they're just like, oh, I don't give a shit. Like, I'm going to jump around and be crazy and have fun.
And they also like just, and I know, and going off of my own personal experience from when I was like 16, so maybe it's not accurate for all of them, but in general, they don't know as much music. Like they don't know, I have like a perfect parallel for every single band. Like, cause you know, you go like, you know, you and I'm 29, you know, I go see a band, I'm like, yeah, that band was good. They're kind of like this band, and this band. And it kind of, I don't want to say it cheapens it, but it kind of does. And it's like, when you're younger, like, you're just like, whoa.
That's it's all new.
Totally
yeah.
new. Like, you know, like when I first heard the Humanoids, I was like, this is awesome. And I still think that they're awesome.
Oh, I do too.
And, but like, but I did, I wasn't like, this band is very similar to Dillinger Four and Naked Ray Gun, and with some slight hints of like Leatherface, which is what I would say now, right? Because that's that's accurate.
Sure.
I'm just describing what I would call them now if I heard them now. I'd be like, yeah, very, very good band. Very similar to these other bands, but very proficient is how I would talk about it now. But back then I was just like, what is this? This is great. You know, because I heard like Men of Standard, that song from their first EP.
Oh, yeah.
On MySpace.
Humanoids Are Born, I think it was.
Yeah, the Humanoids Are Born, yeah. And, so I think that's why younger people seem to enjoy it more.
Yeah, I absolutely, well, I agree with you totally on the younger kids thing, and I love several of the guys in that band, Greg Stinson and Ryan Zimmerman and Sean Morsey have been friends of mine, or I've known them for a long time. They're really good dudes, and they were in a band prior to that, Stinson and Zimmy, I call Zim Dog or whatever.
Yeah.
Called Step On It.
Okay.
I don't know if you remember. And it was more of a Minor Threat.
Name. Yeah.
It was like a really fast, like hardcore punk.
I remember hearing the name around.
They were really, really fun to watch. And they did like a reunion in like 2007. There used to be an Ethiopian. I like talking about this stuff because it's a little bit of like St. Louis punk history.
Yeah.
There used to be a restaurant, I think it was Ethiopian restaurant or something, called the Red Sea in on Del Mar. And
okay.
It was like I saw two shows there, and one show was this girl that I was dating at the time, and there was like nobody at the show but like me and a couple other people. But like the other one was it was her band. And then the other one was it was step on it and cross examination, and it was just so, so dope. Like,
that sounds very intense.
It was full. It was a packed out show, and being at the venue, there was like a restaurant upstairs. You would never know that there was a punk show happening downstairs. Like,
yeah,
there's a bathroom. There might have even been a bar down there. But it was just like a dirty old basement that I don't even think weren't even allowed to do shows there, but they
were. Not zoned out properly, yeah, probably.
It was such a dope show though. But, I love the Humanoids. And I have one last Humanoid story is they played at one of the first shows that I saw at Heavy Anchor in 2011 was Humanoids and Better Days and the Haddonfields. And then this band from Southern Illinois called Be My Doppelganger.
I think I was at that show.
Yeah.
Literally.
Probably.
I think I was.
Probably.
Yeah, because that sounds really familiar.
There was a lot of people there.
I don't remember going to a show at the Heavy Anchor before 2016, but I must have, right? Like, I just don't remember going. But I must have been there because that sounds really familiar. Because I've definitely seen the Humanoids, Better Days, and those bands played again. And I have seen Be My Doppelganger too.
Yeah.
So I think I was probably there. That was probably when I was in a freshman or a sophomore in college. So I would have been able to go too. So yeah, I think I was probably there.
That was a super fun show. And I remember being like, at that time, I wasn't playing music. I was kind of out of it. Like I was kind of doing I was about to get married at the time, and I was like, but I heard that they were playing, and I knew some of those guys, and I knew one of my friends, Travis Schaefer, who plays in Better Days and Time and Pressure.
Yeah.
I was like, oh well, I know a bunch of people that are going to the show, like I'll come out to it and see what they're up to, and I was kind of like doing the corporate stooge type thing back then. You know, I mean, I work for a corporate company now, but like I was kind of doing the whole like staying, like not going to many shows, not being super punk rock, you know, not getting any tattoo. I was just kind of had settled down a little bit.
Yeah.
And I was like, I need to go to a fucking punk show. Like I just need a release.
Sometimes you need to. Yeah.
Yeah. And some dude grabbed me at the end. Like I've never really been I've definitely gotten some like bruises and stuff from shows like in the past where there was one Warped Tour where I like got beat up. I was like I'm just getting in the fucking pit and like, going for it, but I got beat up pretty bad. That's the one that I remember the most, is like I had bruises all over my back from like crowd surfing and shit.
Yeah,
but at the end of that show, like some dude grabbed me on the last song, and just I was standing kind of off to the side just like kind of vibing, and some dude grabbed me and just fucking twirled me around a few times and threw me across the room. And I did have a big bruise like on my knee after that.
I don't do moshing.
Yeah.
That's not a me thing. No, I don't. I'm too small for that. I'm frail.
Like now I'm a little older now, and I love going to shows, but like I'm that dude now that like I'm more of like, and I don't mind if it's a big crowd because I like seeing the crowd interact with the band, but like, I'm definitely more of that dude now where you can find me kind of back by where the sound guy is, having a beer. I've usually got earplugs in because I've already ruined my hearing so badly.
Yeah.
Like, and I'm usually like just chilling and hanging
out.
You know? Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
I'm just like enjoying it. So
yeah, I'm kind of the same way too. Yeah. So I don't do the moshing thing. I get it. But I'm like, ooh, I don't want to get a hurt.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, and I'm also that, like, I talked about skateboarding earlier. Like, I'm that nerdy dude who's, like, I'm always, like, padded up. I've got, like, the wrist guards everything.
I don't skateboard, but if I was going to, I would have, like, a chin guard. Like, I would look like the bubble boy from the movie.
I just went out. I went out twice this weekend, and I've like finally getting to the point where I'm doing ramps and stuff.
Ooh,
like going down ramps, and it's like you get going so fast, and it feels like you're out of control at first. But you kind of like, it's like your body's just not used to it. You're not used to the motion, and once you get used to it, you're cool.
It's vertigo, kind of.
It is, and it's scary. It's super super scary at first, but then you get used to it. But I have fallen several times. But like if I wouldn't have had the pads on, like I would have hurt my elbows really bad. Mm. Like I always fall on my elbow for some reason, but like, anyways, I digress.
Yeah, I know.
All right. Let's get back into it.
So,
what do you guys, I know you just played a show. Like what do you guys have, what's Fight Back Mountain have coming up soon that, people should know about?
Yeah, so we're playing another show. We're trying to do like one, maybe two a month.
Okay.
That's kind of what we're doing. So, you know, because we want to make a poster for it and we want to promote it.
Sure.
So
you
want to
do it right.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And not to mention there's just not that many going on right now yet. But anyway, 31st of July, we're okay. playing at the Heavy Anchor. We are playing with Young Animals.
Nice.
Yeah, they're pretty good. I like them. And August, we're still trying to work out some stuff for August because we think that our album is probably going to come out in August.
Okay.
I'm like technically not supposed to, but whatever. It's probably going to come out in August. We're waiting to post the actual release date because Don, with the record space, is like, you know, helping us release it. It's coming out through his record label. And he wants to do the release dates when we actually have the records in hand.
Smart.
So that way we're not like, because what happened with him was he was doing a release show for his band, Bastard Squad, and they booked the release show because that's when they were supposed to get the live albums in, but they didn't get them in. So they had a record release show, but they didn't have the records. So we don't want that to happen. So we're going to wait, but we're supposed to be getting the records in like literally this week or something.
Oh, awesome.
So we're going to probably do something in August, but I don't have anything for August. So, but on the books, we've got July 31st at the Heavy Anchor with Young Animals. We are playing, at the end of September with Agent Orange.
Yeah. I saw that. That's
Red
awesome.
Flag, which is really, really cool. I really like Agent Orange.
And very cool venue.
Yeah. I love Red Flag too. And that's with Bastard Squad as well. And then we're playing a show in the beginning of September. I'm like 85% sure we're playing a show in the beginning of September too with The Disappeared.
Oh, sick.
I think
okay.
it's like their official release because I think their album came out. I think it came out during COVID-y times, I think, or like just about. I think like right at the beginning. Their latest release came out like in maybe like March or something. But in any event, I'm like 90% sure that that's happening at the beginning of September. And, you know, follow the Instagram and follow the Facebook. I don't post as much on Facebook because Facebook sucks. But Facebook also owns Instagram. Which
I'm totally getting
more.
Away from Facebook a little bit.
Yeah, Facebook is just super toxic and it's just whatever.
There's just way too much noise on there.
It's a whole different discussion. But the
too much noise.
Yeah, it's too much, for sure. But the you know, follow us on Instagram and that's where we'll be releasing all the information for all of our shows coming
up. And it's Fight Back MTN, right?
Fight Back MTN is usually what we go with because Fight Back Mountain's a really long and cumbersome band name. But we go with Fight Back MTN. On any of the socials, it's MTN. Because, you know, mountain, it's a kind of a weird word to spell. MOUNTAIN. Like, I had to think about it, and I'm in a band with mountain in the name, you know?
It is a weird word.
MTN is what we go with. And yeah, follow us on the Instagram to see all of our posts about the upcoming shows.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Awesome. Yeah. And
the release date for the album, too.
Yes, yes, absolutely. And I definitely will be posting whenever your album's coming out or whenever your show is. On the first episode of this, it was just me talking about what this podcast was. So
yeah,
I did mention your show that you just had,
cool.
but it was sold out.
Yeah.
So I couldn't tell people, like, go buy tickets or anything like that.
yeah.
But
I don't think they're not doing limited capacity for the Heavy Anchor one.
Okay.
Because, you know, it's at the end of July. It should be good to go by then. And they haven't been doing capacity, at recent shows at the Heavy Anchor and they said it wasn't a problem. So yeah, come to that one. Flood the place.
Absolutely.
Yeah, yeah.
Flood it out, baby. Open the floodgates.
Yeah. Get your vaccine if you haven't got it yet and then come to the show. You
absolutely.
Have exactly enough time to get both shots or the one
yes,
shot.
Yes. Yes. Yeah, I got both mine, like pretty company that I work for. They had like an event where they were giving people a vaccine and. Yeah, I got both of mine. It wasn't that bad. I did on the second shot. I got sick.
Mm-hmm.
I did too. The next day, I called into work. I was like, "It's not happening today."
Yeah, I also called into work. I got two shots. I did the Moderna one, and it was fine. And I really don't like needles either. So it was like, if I could do it,
do you have any tattoos?
No. Oh, wow. I don't like needles. They creep me out. Like, I don't like going to the dentist because needles.
Oh, I hate the dentist.
I hate it. It's the worst. I'm actually, like, I started seeing a therapist in, like, COVID times because, like, I was supposed to, like, go get a cavity fill, which I still haven't done. Oops. But I kept flaking on it because I was, like, so terrified of going to the dentist. And I started seeing a therapist, which I probably should have been doing way earlier. But I started seeing one in like, maybe, like, September of 2020. And, like, yeah, we're still trying to get, like, through, like, everything, but also trying to, like, circle back to, like, maybe we can get me into the dentist chair. But I despise needles. And so if I can do it, you can do it. If you haven't done it yet, go do it. You know, I close my eyes and put on that song by The Offspring that's like, it's all I want. Because it was in the Crazy Taxi game.
Oh, yes. I remember that.
And okay. I thought that line in the song where he's like, I'm sick of not living to stay alive, was like, that's the reason why I want to get vaccinated, because I'm sick of not doing anything.
Yeah. No.
To stay alive. Literally.
I felt like when I got my shot, like, she put the Band-Aid on over the shot. And she was like, okay, you're good. And I'm like,
oh, really?
I couldn't even hardly feel it. And it doesn't make everybody sick, but it knocked me out for a day or two after.
Yeah, it did to me too. Yeah. You're going to get a sore arm. I'm not a medical professional. I'm a lawyer, but I'm not a medical professional. It's not the same. But in my non-professional advice, you're going to have, your arm's going to hurt a couple days.
Yeah, for sure.
And you're going to maybe feel like a little foggy. Maybe you'll get a headache. Just take, I think you're, look this up, but you're supposed to take like Tylenol and not ibuprofen, I think. But you can take a Tylenol or whatever, and whichever one, the ones you're supposed to take, you know, take one, not before, but after, and you're good. And then you'll be like, you know, 98% immune to COVID. And even if it slips through the cracks, it's like you get like, and that's it.
A little tiny
cough. Like, you know, when they say like, this actor was vaccinated, but he still got COVID. It's like, yeah, because they're getting tested nonstop. Like, they didn't even notice. Like, I know, like,
I could have probably had it and not known.
Yeah, and if you had the vaccine, it's like that, where the vaccine knocks it all the way down to being a common cold, even if it slips through the cracks. So, yeah, go get it. But anyway, shows definitely got a lot of them coming up. And we're very active on Instagram, is the one where we're most active.
Absolutely, yeah. Absolutely. And I'll be, you can follow the 314 Punk account as well. I'll definitely be sharing out what you guys are doing. When I started this account, like, you were one of the first bands that I wanted to feature, just because I feel like you're a good band doing awesome stuff.
Thank
you.
And
I really appreciate you coming on the show. And
thank you so much.
Best of luck to you. I wish you nothing but the best. That's what I
also wish you nothing but the best.
Well, thank you.
So there you go.
I appreciate it. All right. Well, that's it. Adrian Barnello, Fight Back Mountain. We'll talk to you guys later.
Bye-bye.
All right. So that's it. That's all she wrote. This is another episode of 314 Punk Podcast. Again, follow the page, follow Adrian, follow Fight Back Mountain, look for shows coming up, and we thank you for supporting 314 Punk. This is really cool. I'm really excited to be doing this, and I hope you guys enjoyed this episode as well. And one last request, if you like this episode, please share it on Instagram, on Facebook, Twitter, whatever you do. So, thank you guys.